What we do at Just Leadership USA is we invest in the leadership of people who are formerly incarcerated as a solution to the problem of mass incarceration, because we believe that people who are closest to the problem are closest to the solution. And so when Bill asked me to come to their office to screen the film, I mean, these days, rightfully so, there are tons of films being made about mass incarceration. And as I sat through this film, a quarter of the way through, I just said to myself, wait a minute, I've never seen a film like this one before, because there was no narrator's voice trying to interpret what these folks were saying. It was them telling the raw, true story of what it's like on Rikers. And I listened to it with a very critical ear, very deliberately, as someone who spent time on Rikers as a young person. And I found that every single story rang true to me. I went to Rikers when I was 16 the first time. I got arrested for shoplifting here in New York City with $1,500 bail. I think the judge did it just to scare me, because I was supposed to go back to court within 48 hours. And there were about 50 of us in a cell that's meant to hold maybe 20 people. And a guy walked up to me and he said, "Give me your jacket." And if you've ever been on Rikers, you know that if you give up that jacket, you'll be giving up everything else for your entire stay on Rikers. And instead of giving the jacket, I swung at him, and him and his five buddies who were in the cell started fighting with me. And by the time I emerged from that fight, I had four stab wounds, one in my neck and three in my back. And the most difficult part of that wasn't the fight, because I came out of that fight knowing that I'd have respect for as long as I was on Rikers. The most difficult part was hearing the COs in the back laughing about it and then saying to me, "Look, you can file a complaint and we can take you to the medic, but you won't go to court today, and you know what else is going to come out of that, namely being labeled a snitch." And then I was in and out of Rikers for the next couple of years until I ended up spending a year there in my early 20s. And that year was followed by 5 years in prison. And in the 48 hours I was there the first time, I quickly realized, as Barry from Fortune Society said, that you have a choice, predator or prey. But during the year, I learned everything you could about the culture at Rikers and how to work that culture to survive. And that sometimes meant paying correction officers to bring in drugs, to bring in food, to let me go to recreation when others couldn't go to recreation, to let me walk the halls when others couldn't walk the halls. That meant surrounding myself with other people to ensure that anyone who came up in that housing block had to answer to us. And then I remember going to state prison afterwards, after I took a plea, and thinking to myself, after that year of essentially sleeping with my eyes open every single day, how am I going to make it through another 5 years in state prison like this? And I got to state prison, and there were guys who were cooking, and they were taking cans of soup and opening up the can and taking the top off, which is the sharpest razor I've ever seen, and then throwing it in the garbage and making soup and having dinner. And it just stuck with me that there's something about the culture of this island that is 200 feet away from one of the busiest airports in the country, in the middle of one of the most progressive, resource-rich cities in the country, that is inherent to the kind of violence that people experience when they're there. So fast forward 2 years ago, I was at the mayor's inauguration. And when I got online to take a picture like everyone else who was there, I got to the mayor and I said to the mayor, "With all due respect, I can take a picture with you at any point during the next few years. I'm here to tell you, you should close Rikers." And the mayor looked down at me and he said, "Why? Why do you say that?" I remember being struck by the fact that this progressive mayor, who has two children who have the sort of issues that gets other people's children locked up on Rikers, asking me the question of why. And once I built Just Leadership USA, and we invested in the leadership of all these formerly incarcerated people around the country, as soon as we got resources to start our advocacy work, we started right here at home, and we decided that we would tackle one of the most difficult problems here in New York City. And we launched our campaign to close Rikers. while most New Yorkers will never go to Rikers, I think this film brings Rikers to New Yorkers. And at the same time, I think people have a responsibility to respond to what you've heard in this film. And if you think that Rikers is any different, it might be different because it's built next to an airport and you can't build upwards and it's built flat and long and that's part of what makes it dangerous. The truth is that Rikers is every jail and every jail is Rikers. I've visited over 200 correctional facilities around this country. To me, they all look and feel like Rikers. They all make my chest constrict when I walk into them the same way it does when I'm watching this film. I'll give you a couple more stats and then I'll stop. So today there's about 8,000 people on Rikers, 77,000 admissions each year. 1,800 people that are there are stuck there because of court delays. And yet over 80% are there and have not been convicted of a crime. But when I went there recently, as a member of the independent commission created by the Speaker of the Council to take a look at not just Rikers, but our criminal justice system more broadly in New York City, I talked to 10 of the men that were there. And I was there to talk about the conditions of Rikers with them, but they all wanted to talk about something different. They all wanted to talk about access to justice. These were guys that were all there between 3 and 6 years, and they could have talked to me all day long about how disgusting the facility was. But they talked about wanting access to justice. And I'm not necessarily saying their liberty. I'm sure their liberty was important to them. But what was more important was the fact that they were going back and forth to court every month, back and forth, with no resolution, no access to justice. If you look historically in this country and elsewhere, there's a roadmap to success. And there has never been a system of oppression that has been taken down without the voices and leadership of people who've been oppressed by the system rising up, defining that oppression, and then helping us find the way out. And that's why we invest in the leadership of the very people you've seen in this film as part of the solution. But the people who sit in this room who have a tremendous amount of privilege, and you have it just by virtue of sitting in this room. Historically, it takes folks like you to recognize that privilege and not step away from it, but align it with people who have less privilege to undo something as heinous and something that causes so much human carnage like Rikers Island. Thank you.